I'd like to read a few verses from the middle of the ninth chapter of the book of Daniel. Some of you will wonder at first why I've chosen this particular text, because it is in the middle of a prayer of confession. But I hope as we proceed that you will understand why I selected the text for this evening. Daniel chapter 9. And I'd like to read verses 15 through 19. Hear God's word. "And now, O Lord, our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and have made a name for yourself as it is this day, we have sinned. We have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins, the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplication before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your own sake, O Lord, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name." May God be pleased to bless to us the reading of his word, and may he be pleased to open our hearts to a better understanding of his truth as we have opportunity to look at it this evening. I call the message simply, "The Sunshine of His Face." And you'll note that theme in verse 17 of the text. I'm grateful to God because I have it on fairly good authority that the principal reason that you have chosen as two congregations to come together is the betterment of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you want, by the grace of God, to be a light in this community, a light for the gospel, a light for the grace of God, a light for the truth of God in this community. And of course, Jesus indicated that this is exactly what we are to be. You are the light of the world. And I am grateful that although there may have been other pragmatic reasons in the background, this is at the forefront. And the way in which you become a light in this community, the way in which you become the light of the world, is to have the gracious face and the glory of the face of God shine on you. And so my message tonight is simply this: seek the face of God, and seek that the face of the glory of God will shine upon you to empower you to be a witness to the goodness of God. Seek the face of God and the glory of God to shine on you, to empower you to be a witness for Him. This is in the middle of the text in verse 17. "See now, our God, listen to our prayer, to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication. For your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. And then the circumstance in which Daniel found himself, the sanctuary of Israel was in a ravaged and desolate condition. At the beginning of chapter 9, we note that the 70 years of captivity is about to come to an end. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the book the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. And this is probably about 1 year before the end of the captivity. And so at the beginning of the chapter, in chapter 9, we have this mention of the 70 years. And there's another bracket in the chapter, the 77s, verse 24. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 77 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. At the beginning of chapter 9, the end of the captivity. At the end of chapter 9, the coming of Messiah. And these are the bookends. This is the sandwich in which the prayer of Daniel is found. And so it would not be surprising for us to see in that prayer embedded the ideas of restoration from captivity on one hand and the Messiah on the other. And as Daniel prays in verse 15, he first looks back at the Exodus. Look at verse 15 with me, would you, please? O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger... No, that's verse 16, isn't it? And now, O Lord, our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself as it is this day, we have sinned, we have been wicked. Yes, they were in captivity, and why? Because of their sin. We know that's the case. And now the captivity is coming to an end, and Daniel is beseeching the Lord in this prayer that deliverance would come, and he looks back at the Exodus and the deliverance of God's people in that Exodus. And of course, it was by a mighty hand that God delivered the people at that time. And there were several miracles. The culminating miracle was the slaying of all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh down to the firstborn of the lowliest slave. But in Israel, the people were commanded to kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, and the death angel passed over every household where the blood appeared. And so it was that Pharaoh was constrained to let the people of God go.
by the outstretched arm and mighty hand of God. And what does the Apostle Paul tell us? Jesus Christ is our Passover. It is His blood sprinkled upon us and upon our households that brings us out from under the penalty of death, and by Him we are saved. What a good thing that is. By the blood of our Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ. And so Daniel looks back at that Exodus, and we too can look back, can we not, at what Jesus Christ has done for us in applying His blood for us, to us. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us that through the application of the blood, we become a part of the church of the firstborn. We are the sons and daughters of the living God. You are the sons and daughters of the living God by the application of that blood. And you are part of that great church of the firstborn. You are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This is what you have to look back to. But as Daniel prays and he seeks the face of God, Daniel also knows that if there is to be a present deliverance, that present deliverance, that present application of salvation must rest upon what God did in the past. And we find this in verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your own name's sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. And if you go back and look at verse 15, Daniel notes that when the people were brought out of Egypt, that God made a name for Himself. You have brought out the people with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself. God says, or Daniel says to God. And now Daniel, bold as he is, reminds the Lord that what you did in the past, O God, and in your making a name for yourself, restore your people and preserve the greatness of your name by bringing your people out from under the hand of bondage once again, that there would be a second Exodus. And we know that this is the case, that present application of salvation always rest upon what God has done in the past. If we have come to Christ, it is because the salvation He worked out 2,000 years ago as He walked in this world and died on that cross and rose again. It is because He worked out that salvation 2,000 years ago. And when we come before God, we ask Him to apply that work accomplished long ago to us in the present, even now. And this is Daniel's perspective. You delivered your people long ago. Effect now, in the present, your salvation, O God. And Daniel indicates what this salvation involves. Verse 16. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. If there is to be deliverance, there must be a turning away of wrath. We are very slow in some circles in the evangelical church today to speak of the wrath of God, which is real. And the Israelites of old felt the sting of the wrath of God as they were driven from their homeland and taken into captivity. And now Daniel pleads with God, lift the hand of your judgment and take us out from under that judgment. Take away your wrath, O God. And this is always a principle of salvation. God removing wrath. And what a wonderful thing it is when we understand we are under the wrath of God because of our sin. But praise be to God. The gospel says, He, that is Jesus Christ, bore our sins in His body up to and on the cross. And because He bore the awful wrath of God in the place of His people, He did cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And He felt the sting of the wrath of God for people like you and me. And so as Daniel prays, he knows that the way of salvation, the way of deliverance, is through the removal of wrath. But that's not all. And it cannot be all. Verse 18. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. Think of this. Of all people, Daniel, who stood in his integrity from the time of his youth, and now he is probably in his 90s, an elderly man who loves the Lord his God. And he would not profane the name of God, nor would he cease from praying, even if the penalty of death were to be pronounced. He would be faithful to his God. And Daniel says, it is not on the basis of our own merits that we come before you, our God. Daniel knew that there was no righteousness adequate to give him right standing to be found within himself. It was an alien righteousness, a righteousness that had to come from God. That was the righteousness that would save. The righteous shall live by faith. Daniel understood these things. And so Daniel prays, O my God, incline your ear, hear, open your eyes and see the desolations of the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own. And we, on this night, do not stand before God on the basis of any merit of our own. Is that not the case? It is not by our merit that we come before God. It is only by the merit of the Savior, Jesus Christ, who came into the world and lived an absolutely perfect and sinless life, and He did so for the likes of you and me, who rightly and justly, because of our own sin, could be cast into the pits of hell to suffer damnation forever. And yet, by the application of the compassion of God, His righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, is given to us as a free gift. And those robes of splendor and righteousness draped upon us give us freedom and access into the most holy sanctuary and temple of the living God. And Daniel understood that it was by the compassion and the mercy and the grace of God giving that righteousness, that that was the only way he and others could properly come before God and make their supplication. And so it is, friends, with you and me. And how is it that we come to experience this turning away of wrath and this good and gracious gift of the righteousness of Christ? It is by God's face shining in His goodness upon us. Verse 17. And so now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication. For your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. And surely, friends, we would be in the pit of despair and in desolation were it not for the sunshine of His face. This is Daniel's prayer. And when we experience the warmth and wonder of His grace shining upon us, and the smile of His love, we know wrath is removed, and righteousness is imputed, and we have a standing before God that only He can give. And you know what happens? We begin to shine ourselves. This is how it is in the end. That the words of Jesus, "You are the light of the world," are fulfilled by the sunshine of His face coming upon us. Do you remember Psalm 80? O God, cause Your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. And the benediction, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. The face of God shining, smiling at you and me. And when that happens, our countenances are changed. His countenance is lifted up upon us. And we are changed. We become a different people. You become the light of the world. This is the dynamic. And this is what Daniel is praying for. Because Daniel wants, above all else, for the name of God to be set forth in power before the people of the world. Verse 15, "And now, O Lord our God, who have brought Your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for Yourself." Verse 17, "So now, our God, listen to the prayer of Your servant and to the supplications, and for Your name's sake, O Lord." And verse 19, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action for Your own name's sake, O Lord." It is the great name of our God that is to be broadcast. And our God is pleased to use simple instruments like you and me to broadcast His name. People whose countenances are altered by the grace of God and who are lights in the world because the face of God has been shining upon them. Which brings me back to the point I gave you at the beginning. Seek the sunshine of God's face as God's power to be God's witnesses in the world. This is what God wants. This is, I perceive, what God wants for you, United Congregation, here. That you would seek the sunshine of God's face as God's power to be God's witnesses in this community right here. And as you make this your priority, God will indeed shine on you and give you grace and give you witness in the most unexpected and extraordinary places to the growth of His kingdom and to the glory of His name. Again, verse 17. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary, on your sanctuary. May the God of peace and grace shine upon you, and may you seek his face and the sunshine of his face as his power to be his witnesses in this world and in this community in which he has been pleased to place you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your grace. Bless this congregation. Shine upon them and make them a witness in this community, a light in this community, to your grace and to your power to turn away wrath and to impute righteousness and to give right standing before you. Work in them and through them to the praise and the glory of your name. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.